This morning service, for those that was there this morning, there was a word which was mentioned. And I thought it was a very good message this morning, but there was something that I thought of that I thought, oh, that's missing and I've got to mention it tonight. The word was, who was there this morning, anybody?
Content,
yeah. An earthly contentment or content is unachievable because of the very word itself, content. You'll never get contentment if all you're seeking is content. There you go. And I'm going to be talking a little bit about camping and tenting and the caravan of life. Now, the caravan of life is something we should all have and we should all be in and be part of. Now, we've just come back from our holidays and we're scriptural holiday makers,
yep.
Right? Now, you might think, well, did he go to a Christian retreat? Was it a holy place that I went to? Was it some kind of Christian rally or event that I went to? Well, I'm going to have to answer that truthfully. And no, it wasn't none of those. But I still classify my type of holiday making as a spiritual holiday maker. Now, you might think I've lost my plot here, but all will be revealed. When I went on my holiday, I've been away in my tabernacle. Oh, you might think, wow, that's very nice. In biblical terminology, it's a fixed or movable dwelling of light construction. And that's what I've been in. My caravan. And like I say, I'm going to talk a little bit about that tonight. And the fact that we were all born to tabernacle. Amen?
Yes.
Yeah? No, you're thinking, now I prefer to go to Spain. No, but I will tell you tonight, and it will all be revealed, that we were all born to tabernacle and to barbecue for our entire life as a Christian. Yeah? And I'm going to prove it, that we were born to tabernacle and barbecue. Now, those are on the picture, so that's covered. Thinking of scriptural terminology and the word tabernacle. Now, if you're thinking of the word tabernacle, you might think of Moses. And you might think of when they were in the desert. And you might think of the whole of Exodus. It's quite a fairly big part of the Bible. And in Exodus 25, God tells Moses how to make a tent and why. In Exodus 25, verses 1 to 9, it's the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from everyone whose hearts prompt them to give. These are offerings you are to receive from them. Gold, silver and bronze. Blue, purple and scarlet yarn and fine linen. Goat hair. Ram skins dyed red and another type of durable leather. Acacia wood. Olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece. Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishing exactly like the pattern I will show. It then goes on to describe exactly how this tent was to be made and how the tabernacle was to be set up. I'm not going into that now, but what a tent! Gold, silver, and bronze. And I thought my caravan was good. Tabernacle. Why God chose tent life. God gave very specific instructions to Moses for the building of a tabernacle. This portable sanctuary was the place that housed something very important. This portable sanctuary housed God's very presence among his people. In the holies of holies, God's private throne room, sat the Ark of the Covenant. A gold box that contained important documents and some other keepsakes. And on the corner of the box was a pair of gold-winged creatures guarding the throne on which God's presence would sit, the seat of mercy. Yeah. Now, it's a very long story through Exodus, but if you can remember, this was where the cloud by day and fire by night presence rested to remind the people that God was with them. Yeah. Not only with them, but for them. God wanted to be near his people. What happened in the tent stayed in the tent. And why did they have barbecues? That's the next little stage. What happened in the tent stayed in the tent, and why they had barbecues. Why we needed the tabernacle. Now, how do you think of God? Go back to this time, and if I said that question then,
God is this. God is all powerful.
God was somebody to be scared of. God, the people then, and God, well, we've done so much wrong in our lives. is a scary guy. And they thought at that time, God's holiness, God's very presence, was that powerful that if they came near it, they would be struck down dead. Because they were in such an unclean state. So when God was setting up this tent, he set out a lot of rules and a lot of ways in which it had to be done for those working in and around and for those working outside to come safely and meet with his presence. So God set out all sorts of sacrifices and rituals so they could approach him without fear. There was washing rituals, cleansing rules, sacrifices the people would offer. There were boundaries about who goes in which part of this tabernacle. The inner part, the Holy of Holies, was God's private space. Only the high priest could go in there, and only once a year on the Day of Atonement. He would sprinkle some blood, do some other things, and ask for God's mercy for the Israelites, the people around, and the sins of the people to be forgiven. Priests could go into the holy place outside of this on a daily basis to offer prayers, burn incense, light candles, conduct their rituals on behalf of the people, and eat together in the presence of God. And the barbecue. The common people, everybody else, could come into the yard, which served as a place for these barbecues. People brought their animals and the priest would sacrifice them, barbecue parts of the animal as an offering to God. And the people may have took some of that home for themselves to eat. The priest ate some and burnt others up as an offering to God. Since God didn't really eat his portion, so they burnt it. God was after something very special here. You might think it was quite an unusual setup, this tent, with segregated parts, but it was for that purpose. For God's presence to be with his people. And when you get together in summertime and you're camping, what's better than to have a good barbecue? So God was having a good barbecue with his people. God liked it. And probably the people liked it as well. But why did God want the tabernacle? Well, it was a long time that they were wandering around the desert. And one thing God wanted was to be more than anything with his people, with his creation. Cast your minds back even further now. How did it all begin? God created man and woman. He created us as living beings for one thing, really, and that's for him to have an intimate relationship with each of us. We walked originally in an intimate way with God, had fellowship in that garden. Now, you have cast your minds a long time back, but I'm going to be bringing you back up this way in a minute. Something happened, and sin separated us from him. And that intimate God, that God which was all loving and just wanting to spend every moment with his creation, suddenly became separated from us. Sin came in. And that picture of God in our minds changed from a God and an intimate relationship to someone that his people was frightened of. Was that masterful voice. That voice where we couldn't anywhere get near to the standard, near to the level, near to that intimate relationship that we had because we were sin. Interestingly, the tabernacle was decorated in ways with colourful imagery, possibly reminding the people of that colourful beginning we had with our Lord in the Garden of Eden. Reminding of that close fellowship with God without that need of that special tent and boundaries. God wasn't content with this. I've used that word, content. But God wasn't content with this. With this kind of relationship. So things progressed. Time moved on. This, we might think, this tent that's described in Exodus as the only tabernacle. The only place where we can safely meet with God, where each of us can come and confess to him and give offerings to him. But God wanted more. God wanted to claim that intimate relationship back with each of us. So the next step happened. And God turned up on this earth, tabernacled in the flesh of Jesus. In John 1:14 it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling where he's been in this tent among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of one of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. What an amazing step this tabernacle took. The first tabernacle was in the garden. It was a tabernacle which was invisible because the presence of God was there amongst man and walked with man and had that intimate relationship with man just as God wanted. The next tabernacle came because God still wanted that relationship with man. But man was still afraid. Man was still in sin and full of sin and scared of God. But God still wanted that relationship with man and woman. So the tabernacle in Exodus came. That wasn't enough. God wanted more. God wanted his intimate relationship. So Jesus came. Jesus was the next tabernacle's God in our presence, in flesh. He dwelt amongst us. His dwelling among us. New picture of that caravan as a dwelling in Jesus amongst us. The story didn't stop there. The story of the tabernacle didn't stop there. That still wasn't enough to fulfill that intimate relationship. God wants his proximity, his intimacy closer to us. God wants us to be near him. He wants to be near us and be known by us. Even living in Jesus wasn't close enough for him. For a time, his presence, his glory, walked with us again, but it wasn't enough. So the next development came of God's tabernacle, of God's dwelling place. He wanted to be in each of us. Wow. God has taken up a new residence. So where do we meet God now? Where is God found now? God is found through his Spirit. And where is his Spirit? Right here. We are the new tabernacle. And that's where it comes in, that we're all campers. Yes. Caravanners, tabernaclers. Our heart is now the Holy of Holies. Proof? Ephesians 2:22, and in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by His Spirit. So did you hear that? You now have become God's tent, God's caravan, God's movable dwelling place, all fixed, if you sat down. But you have got legs, so you can move. So you're fixed or permanent, moving dwelling place, lightweight. Well, that might, you know, be variable. But that's something exciting. You've now become God's dwelling place. In accepting Christ and believing in Him and letting Him into your life and being the Israelite, being the chosen one of God, that tent is now you. That tabernacle is now you. So why has God done all this? I've already mentioned the word already, and that is simply intimacy. Plain and simple. He wants that perfect relationship with His people. And the only way God could achieve that is quite simple. He had to move in. His presence, His dwelling, had to move in and become a permanent fixture in our lives. How great is that? Among us, in us, and through us. So what difference does that make? Now you might be thinking, well, I don't feel that. I'm not a caravan. I go to Spain for my holidays. I like to be away from it all. God's presence yearns to be in man. And God has given the answer here. Here, right now, God's tabernacle can be in you. You too can experience the intimacy of God. It's available. It's free. It's not hidden away. It's not segregated. There's no rituals to be performed. God's tabernacle's here. It's here. It's reality. It's presence. It's being. It's living. Yeah. It's caravan life. If you like it or not, tonight I'm going to call you all caravanners. Because you are. and it's available for each of us tonight. It's not something to be scared of. It's not something to turn away. Know Christ and accept His Spirit. And then there's only one thing I can finish with, and that is happy caravanning. Happy campers, because that's what God wants, is for His dwelling place to be here in you right now. In Jesus' name, amen.